Welcome in this, what is this, Tuesday, September the 10th, 2013. Pastor Rod Zwanitz, your temporary host this week, filling in for Andy Bates, your host for Faith and Family. Blessed news that we have to continue to share and thank God for. A little baby boy, Oscar Benjamin Bates, born to Lauren and Andy Bates. And so Andy's spending some great time with his wife and their new child. We wish them well. He sent the staff some beautiful pictures. Can't get enough pictures of little kids, can you? Little babies. Wow. So Andy and Lauren, we thank you for those pictures. We look forward to being able to hold that little one in our arms here quick here at the station when he's able to get out and about. Hopefully Andy will be back with us next week. Until then, we're going to try to do as well as we can. Talking about these two intertwined and just pivotal things in our world, faith and family. This week, as is our custom, we take a topic once a week that's vital for family and faith. And this week, we're talking about back to school. Yesterday, we did separation anxiety, which can be there in those first times letting your kid go to kindergarten or preschool or to college, maybe even some other school levels in between. And today we're going to be talking about parent-teacher communication. Tomorrow, we're going to be looking at bedtime habits, back to school, getting back in a regular schedule with some good sleep, and then the importance of campus ministry on Thursday. Friday, we're going to finish the week up with talking to Dr. Ben Freudenberg, managing extracurricular activities. So today, let's get right to this important topic. Parent-teacher communication. Parents and teachers need to talk. They need to talk openly, honestly, regularly. And to help us discuss this important topic, we have an expert in. But before we introduce her, let's get the other component of our conversation, and that's you, our listener. We would like you to talk to us about your questions, your comments on parent-teacher communication. I know there's a lot of you out there that have those questions or comments, so give us those if you would. Here in the St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, worldwide, 800-730-2727, or you can email us at kfuo@kfuo.org. And we have someone here who I just learned is the wife of a dear friend of mine, Pastor Wally Becker. It's his dear wife, Alvina Becker. She's a teacher and also a parent. She's a teacher at Christ Community Lutheran School here in Kirkwood. Now, how long have you been a teacher, Alvina?
I believe this is my 29th year.
Wow, 29 years. Still enjoying it?
I do enjoy it.
And now you're telling me that in the current school environment that you're in, it's kind of where you have a rotating school day with middle schoolers, I believe 7th grade primarily, and so you have teachers that specialize in certain things, and you specialize in English and literature.
That's correct.
And boy, kids need that today, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you enjoy the most about teaching, Alvina?
Well, it would have to be the kids, I'm sure, of just the relationships that a teacher gets to build with the students. And probably second to that would be when the light bulbs go on, when you know you've taught something a little bit difficult and they're really paying attention and the light bulbs go on.
Or maybe
that's very rewarding.
Maybe do you ever have that where you kind of can see by how, their facial expressions and their body language, they're not getting it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And then you try something
else.
And you do see them respond, right?
That's for sure.
Kind of like preaching.
That's for sure. Some similarities,
now,
I'm
now,
sure.
Now, before we came on, you were sharing something that I really want you to share with our listeners about how you came about to be a Lutheran school teacher.
Well, you'd have to go all the way back to my childhood in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I actually came from an unchurched home. There were four of us girls in our family, and none of us had been baptized. In fact, I had never been in a church or heard things of God. A Lutheran pastor nearby where my folks owned a restaurant found out that my mom had some Lutheran background through a canvassing visit one day, and I truly believe God laid it in his heart to continue a conversation, relationship with my mom, to convince her to get those four girls baptized and into Lutheran school, which his parish had. So it was over a course of time, I can't remember how long, but my mom finally consented to letting the four of us go to Lutheran school, and it was in my kindergarten year that I was baptized. So a little bit different maybe from the normal LCMS Lutheran response there, but for me, I remember sitting at the feet of my teachers and hearing the stories of Jesus. And it was definitely that grace place that my school became for me was the reason that I decided to become a Lutheran teacher.
That God might use you as right. part of that grace place for this, the young people's lives that
right.
come into your classroom.
That's right.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. And I imagine that there are some teachers in that memory stream that
oh,
are
yes.
still so fond and inspirational for you.
Oh, yes. In fact, my parents didn't have Christian friends. So on that day of our baptism, it was two Lutheran day school teachers who became our sponsors.
Oh, my goodness. Is that great? Have mm-hmm. you maintained some contact
some
with them?
Some over the years. It's gotten further away as time has gone on and moves have happened, but some for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I wonder sometimes if teaching isn't one of those professions that sometimes you don't really get to have that feedback of the impact you had on a young person's life. And I can remember so many of the teachers that, gee, we as kids, we mistreated, but you grow up and you remember them so fondly and you wish you could tell them that and maybe even say, I'm sorry for maybe how I treated you so unkindly and as an immature kid. I can remember, you might enjoy this, my senior year in high school, we were in advanced class and this amazing man, he had a doctorate in English literature from Harvard.
Wow.
And he could have taught at a lot of places, but he chose high school because he wanted to have impact. And so he would do marvelous jobs as like we went through the periods of English literature, and he would introduce each period. And I could just imagine now the effort that he put into this. He would expose us to the music of the time, the art, the literature, the sculpture, all these very wonderful things just to kind of get us, I guess, kind of in a biblical world, in context with it.
High school and, humanities class.
Yeah. And right before his class, we had an honors psychology class. And so we decided we were learning about experimental things. And so we decided half the class would be superintendent that day, and the other half would doze off into oblivion and see how he reacted. And he reacted very, very strongly. He stormed out of the room in tears. Because he felt I prepared and you guys were normally really excited and with me. And we had to send a delegation about half the class to ask for forgiveness, and he did. So I a lot of times I think of him and others that have touched my mm-hmm. life. And
sure.
It'd be neat if a lot of them were in heaven, I could say, hey, thanks, right?
Right.
For the impact you had on, mm-hmm. on me. So in this educating young people that come through the school system, what's important, Alvina, about teachers and parents thoughtfully, regularly talking to each other about their children's educational progress and needs?
Well, I really think that a parent and teacher relationship is one of partnership. And I think if both parties can recognize that, you're going to have a fabulous year. I always see myself as a partner with that parent for the growth and development, education of their child. And so if we can establish that early, you know, in relationship being the entire key, then I think we're going to be off to a really good start in terms of our communication throughout the year.
I really like that. So when I hear that word partnership, that means that no one's going to really be a dominant party. We're going to be a teammates in this venture of educating your child, bringing them up in God's world and growing in knowledge and truth and wisdom.
Absolutely. It's not a we versus they kind of situation at all. We are in this together for your children. So I definitely believe that.
Now, what can both parents and teachers do to create and keep a good, healthy partnership going?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for a teacher, it starts way back even before school begins. It might be the way he or she sets up his or her classroom, the contact that they may make with a parent ahead of time, depending on your school. It might mean home visits or phone calls or classroom visits or postcards, any of those kind of contexts, just to kind of alert the parent that you're the new teacher and, hey, I'm excited about this. Once you get into the classroom situation, then it's going to be establishing from day one that that classroom is a grace place. It doesn't matter what my subject matter is, but this classroom is where Jesus is modeled and love is shared and forgiveness is regular. And I think if that grace place is established early on, and then you can communicate that with every little parent contact you have, you're going to be, you know, well on your way to having some good communication that's going to continue throughout the year.
Wow. And when I hear you say that, Alvina, it makes me think what a rich blessing it is to be able to have a place like Christ Community Lutheran School where you can talk about grace and mercy and Jesus and the church and all these tough topics that kids want to talk about.
Absolutely.
And need to talk about.
Absolutely.
And parents need to be part of that conversation and partnership, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And parents who, you know, make themselves available, become involved in the school, in their children's activities, pop their heads into a teacher's classroom, are definitely doing the right thing to be able to keep that partnership alive and vibrant throughout the year and through their child's school years.
Now, I know some of the people that I've talked to, Alvina, are telling me that, you know, the church has really kind of made a mistake in letting the culture and parents kind of have this attitude that, okay, we're going to drop our kids off at school or church, the parochial school or the Sunday school or the confirmation class, and you take care of educating our kids and we're out of it. And, you know, so many of us say, that's not what God wants, is it?
No, that's certainly unfortunate if that's the viewpoint. You know, even the title of our school, Christ Community, kind of says it all there. We are the body of Christ. We are a family. And we're going to best function as a family when we're all involved and we're all part of what's going on in that place and outside of that place.
Yeah. Now, I have three brothers. And two of them are teachers, one at the university level and the other at middle school.
Yes.
And they tell me that it increasingly is getting more and more difficult in those scenarios because of discipline and you could say maybe lack of it in unstable, dysfunctional family settings. And you know, what they talk about is the change over our lifetime, that when we were going— You know, our parents made it perfectly clear that you need to be good representatives of Christ and of your family when you're in that classroom. And we were told you better respect and treat that teacher and that principal or any of that staff there with great respect. And if we hear you don't, you know, I remember my dad said, you get it double. When you get home, if I hear about that you're in trouble. And you know, my brothers tell me that's kind of shifted to where a lot of the parents now don't see it that way. And maybe in your setting, you don't see that as much as they do in the public side. Do you see any changes over the decades, Alvina?
Well, I certainly do see that shift is there. I think parents, as they desire to be strong advocates for their children, are sometimes not then looking beyond just what might be going on there and want to either cast blame or you know, assume that something is happening that really isn't happening. But that's what brings you all the way back to that beginning again. You know, for a teacher, it's strongly establishing that grace place. It's also sharing a respect for the students and for the parents, building relationship so that as situations arise, this isn't your first contact with a parent, and that they've gotten to know you as a teacher and that they trust you as a leader for their children. And that goes a long way for helping that situation to be a little bit better than it might be otherwise.
What you said there seems to be so important, that don't make that first contact with have the parents one that, okay, we've got a situation with your child. You've developed a relationship of trust and partnership.
Yes.
So that would be important. Now, what do you think parents can do to aid that partnership from the beginning? You kind of talked about how a teacher can do that by, you know, how they stage the room. And I've seen some I wanted to be a student in those places. You know, little neat places where you could sit down and read or talk, and those are really so nice. But what from the parent side do you think can help that partnership?
Let me add one more thing from the teacher there. First, it kind of goes hand in hand with that, and I think that's approachability. You know, really going out of that classroom space and being approachable and accessible to the parent and to the student as well. We, for instance, at CCLS have iPads in the upper grades, and students are encouraged to email us anytime, pretty much a day or evening, with questions on assignments, that type of thing. We have apps that they can use to show us what they're doing, and we can kind of communicate back with them. So it's that ongoing communications. Parents also know that they can email us or contact us pretty much anytime, so that we can have this open communication going in partnership for the child. The parent, I think the parent needs to, I think I mentioned it before a little bit, they need to get involved. They need to be there to, you know, for activities, you know, pop in to say hello to teachers, staff, administration, so that the positives, there are many positive contacts accumulating before any negative might ever arise. It's also good for the child to see that kind of parental reaction, involvement, so that, again, they know that there's an accountability there, and they know that their parents and their teachers really care about them. Before school, we have many, many parent, teacher, child meetings. New students, anybody might be having a few difficulties, ones where parents think we need a little heads up on something. And wow, those are huge for establishing that partnership too.
That's such a good word, approachability, that everybody knows, children, parents, that you are a person that really values that relationship, and you're open to that, you're desirable of that, and they have a lot of ways they can approach you, as you said, email, in person, call you, make an appointment, all those things.
Right.
You would welcome that and encourage that.
Absolutely.
And even desire that. So if you'd like to have a question about this parent-teacher relationship, call us or email us. You can email at kfuo at kfuo.org in the greater St. Louis area, 314-821-0850, or worldwide 800-730-2727. What questions do you think are appropriate, Alvina, for a parent to ask of their teacher, assuming that there's some that are really out of bounds? What do you think is appropriate for parents to talk with their child's teacher about?
Well, certainly anything having to do with the child's welfare, the child's health, abilities, disabilities, passions, anything having to do with curriculum, content, procedure, all of those are really helpful and welcome for any parent to be asking a teacher. I honestly can't think of anything that wouldn't be okay to ask a teacher within the realm of educating a child and for the betterment of the child, because that, again, that partnership, that accessibility, that relationship, all would at different times and different places allow for just about any of that. I've had conversations that have been rather intimate, difficult, spiritual, educational, physical, mental. There's just so many areas of the child that we're touching and working with, and anything that would be in any of those realms would definitely be great questions.
I wonder, too, do you get much contact that I know, especially at formative years, relational development is so important, that we all need friends.
Mm-hmm.
And some have great classrooms for that in their homes.
Right.
And others, I think, really are burdened with not having good teachers at home on how to be a friend, how to be a team player in a classroom setting. And so, I know a lot of parents are concerned about how is my little Susie, my little Johnny doing relational?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure at the age that you have with some kids, that is even more of a need and desire of theirs than others.
It's huge. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've even addressed it through part of our curriculum. We spend a portion of time on Monday afternoons just talking about relationships and everything that entails, from bullying to internet,
relationships. That's right. See, it's got even more difficult, hasn't it?
Absolutely. So we use a lot of time for that. And the beauty of being in a Christian school is that we can always frame it, with Jesus. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
You're back to the grace place, which
absolutely
is so vital. I mean,
so vital.
You just can't be a law classroom. You have mm-hmm. to be a law and gospel.
Mm-hmm. And, just that love the love of Jesus, which we all receive, has to be what permeates through us to our students, too. So it's crucial.
Yeah. Now you talked about something and answered it already. Are emails an appropriate form of communication? And now we even have text and
sure.
Facebook and all kinds of other ways to communicate. How long would you say that a parent, if he or she asks a question of a teacher, how long should that teacher take before they respond?
Hard to have a hard and fast. A lot of times it might depend when that email is actually sent, what time of the day. So you got to give the teacher some turnaround time to, first of all, get it read, and assuming that sometimes they might have an evening activity or they've gone to bed at some reasonable
hour. For personal
hour.
Matters, they might
exactly.
not get to it.
But I think, a 24-hour period of time to get some kind of response, it would be a reasonable period of time, I think, give or take a little bit, depending on the situation. If it's that long or even a little longer, that email probably should start with an apology.
Yeah.
For not getting to
Maybe even just say, hey, I just wanted to thank you and acknowledge that I got your question.
Yes.
I'm going to have to give it some thought,
yes.
and I'll be back to you soon.
Yes, I've done that too. I don't have any time right now to deal with this, and I can tell it's going to take a little time. It might even take a visit. So let me quickly say I've gotten your email, and I'll get to it after school today, something like that. So
sure.
Yes.
And as you were telling me, with a 25 in your class, if everybody is communicating well, you've got a massive load of communication work to do with all of that and all
absolutely.
Your other duties and,
sure.
and vocations in this life.
Sure.
So we're talking about one of those great vocations of a teacher of young people, in your case, and also a parent, a wife, and some great things. All in the grace place of being with Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to pick up right there when we come back from a short break. You're listening to Faith and Family, and we're back to school this week, as a lot of people are either starting up after Labor Day or have been going for a while. And so that's the topic we're looking at today, parent-teacher communication with the great teacher and parent, Jesus Christ, looking over and blessing all of us. So stick with us. We'll be right back here on Faith and Family.
Could Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Bagley family in Ontario, Canada is experiencing intense hatred from an unknown source. Max Bagley has been diagnosed with severe autism and frequently visits his grandmother. One of the grandmother's neighbors objects to Max's presence and sent a hateful, unsigned letter reflecting enormous ignorance. The woman author wrote that Max should either move or be euthanized. She also suggested, and I'm quoting here, the boy's non-retarded body part should be donated to science, adding, "What else good is he to anyone?" I'm tempted to think this person is a waste of skin, but that would be taking the same attitude she has about Max. Thankfully, many neighbors are rallying around the family and police are searching for the culprit. Let's pray she has a change of heart.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Some refugees have been persecuted for their faith, and others know nothing about Christianity. Christian Friends of New Americans welcomes them in the name of Jesus Christ, helps them establish a new life through Bible studies, tutoring, health screenings, citizenship and ESL classes, and helps scholarship students attend LCMS schools. You can help refugees become part of our family. CFNA-STL.org.
On the next Joy, World War II was horrific for all involved. But imagine the scene in an opera house cloakroom, the safest place where the music could possibly play on as the bombs fell. This is Ron Clem. We'll tell this inspiring story of some steadfast music making this week on Joy.
Sunday afternoons at 4 on Worldwide KFUO. Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Back from the August recess, Congress has reconvened with fervent prayers as lawmakers consider whether to approve a U.S. military strike on Syria before Majority Leader Harry Reid took the floor to blame the Syrian government for using deadly chemical weapons. Senate Chaplain Barry Black prayed,
"Lord, we acknowledge that unless you guard our nation, our efforts to find security are futile."
Reid thanked the chaplain and said,
"You know, that prayer is for Democrats and Republicans and all of us."
In the House invocation, Father Patrick Conroy said,
"We seem to be entering a passageway of darkness which may fill us with fear and anxiety. Bring us safely to the light at the end of the tunnel."
The House chaplain prayed,
"As the tensions of violence continue to mount, we turn to you, Lord God, as our hope and salvation."
I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to today's edition of Faith and Family. We are really enjoying our conversation this week about an important topic, back to school. Today we're talking about parent-teacher communication. And I want to share with you some research I learned of from the University of Illinois. They found that children do much better in school when parents talk often and become involved, exactly what our guest Alvina Becker, a teacher and parent herself, was sharing with us, and that if they can do this communication with their teacher, rather than waiting for the conferences, the kids benefit. How about that? Even communicating with teachers, that sometimes the parents don't seem to even care to want to come to the parent-teacher conferences, let alone get engaged. And their kids truly have to suffer for that. I can remember distinctly, and I wanted to ask you about this, Alvina, that when, you know, teachers would show up at the house and want to make a visit early on before school even started, how we dreaded that. You know, because in my case, I had an older brother that was very popular, very good at things. And so I always thought, he's going to find out that I'm not quite as fast a learner as my brother was. And so the expectations are going to be high. And so it was always rough on me. But I so appreciated and thank God for those teachers that would say things like, you know, Rod, Dennis is not here anymore. And my focus is on you. And I so look forward. I know you're not your brother. And I so look forward to finding out who you are. And I just like weight would go away from me.
Right.
Alvina, we were talking too about how, developing, you use that great word, partnership, and letting parents and your students know that you are approachable. You are very interested in them. You are engaged. And to do that early, that relationship, which you strive to develop and maintain, is so vital to everybody involved, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Why do you think that is? That opens all of us up to be able to communicate and learn, and maybe at a far higher level than if we don't.
Well, I think every teacher's goal is ultimately not only to educate a child, but to help them to become their very best self and to grow and develop in their faith. And in a situation where there's a really strong partnership with a parent and a teacher and even the child ultimately, then there is going to be a real success story there for each child. Each child is going to feel important and feel like they have something to offer and work to their highest potential and even grow more in their faith. And that's really what it's all about. It's a real win situation for the child. And that's why that partnership that I keep speaking about is so important, so that each child can really be a winner in their educational path.
You know, I met a mom that they adopted twins who were really had a lot of development issues, and some of them schizophrenia and others. And they found some resources that just helped those kids develop to a point that I was just absolutely surprised and stunned and, you know, ecstatic. I just did not believe that somebody that with that kind of issues going on inside them could accomplish what those two young people did with parents that really wanted that, the very best that they could help their child achieve, whatever level that is, right?
Absolutely.
And you know, I try to tell people that outside of Jesus Christ, I think that's one of the most important things we can give to young people is give it your very best. Don't leave anything on the table. Do all you can, and then you can walk away and feel good that you performed at the highest level that our Creator God, our redeeming God, allowed you to be. And you were talking about that as an educator, mm-hmm. which made me feel good.
We're trying to inspire every student that sits in a seat in our classroom, not only to learn English and lit better, my specific subjects, but to recognize and know themselves better, and to grow and develop ultimately in their faith more. And so anything we can do as part of that process, yes, there's book learning, there's curriculum, but there's so much in developing each child to become the greatest adult they can be. One who feels self-confident, knowledgeable, you know, ready to, you know, go for life and recognize some of their own gifts and abilities so that they can do that. And that would be my goal. I would think most teachers would have that goal.
Sure. Like you said previously, that when you see those lights come on, those light bulbs lit mm-hmm. up, in a learning teaching situation. Yes. What a blessing that must be.
Very much.
So you can participate in this discussion of parent-teacher communication. Give us a shout, 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Alvina Becker, we would love to talk with you. What's in your experience, Alvina, a good way to initiate this communication with the parents?
Like I said earlier, all those things you can do even before school begins. But then there's the little tiny things that maybe don't seem like much, but they add up to a lot. A quick email, a praise to the child, and most of the time that gets back home. Stopping a parent in the parking lot, we greet our parents every morning and our students outside as they're coming into the school building. And so there's a lot of possibility for contact there. A wave, many times, is all that it is. Sometimes it's pausing to talk for a minute here or there. And we try to concentrate on not just stopping a parent when there's a need
when there's a
difficulty, but trying to remember some of the good things that have been going on too, or maybe we've been working on something and there's been some strides made on that issue. So we try to do that as well. So it's just all of that. And it, you know, it goes back to that relationships word too. You're all about the business of building relationships with the parents, with the children, and it just becomes, you know, a snowballing kind of effect where it's all a very positive atmosphere then.
Good. Now you talked about wanting everyone to know that you were very approachable. Do you share that with them? That, you know, you can email me at any time. Give me a call. Stop by the classroom if you know we're not engaged in something right away. Do you let them know that early and often then?
Yes, we tell our students that first of all. We tell them and retell them that. Invite them to always contact us when they're fretting about something or they have a problem or a question about any assignment. Parents, we all have blogs that we all weekly update and we invite them there. We have our back to school nights and our times early in the year we're making a lot of parent contact and we're always inviting them to contact us and approach us whenever they have any kind of a question, concern, they need clarification or whatever it might be.
Now in the parochial school situation, Alvina, does your school encourage the faculty to be there available at worship opportunities too? So students and parents can see as a part of the spiritual family there at Concordia?
Oh, sure. We are present in worship in our congregations. We are in prayer for our students. We spend time every Monday morning praying for a certain set of students, church staff, and teachers, and we let the students know that they're in being prayed for that week through postcards, and we send postcards to the adults as well, thanking them for different avenues of ministry, thanking the kids for being a part of our classrooms. But it is all of that, you know, being involved, being present, being visible. And outside of even the church activities, it might be a sporting activity or a play or a musical function or other things that are going on too, that you're there letting them know you're in their corner.
And I like that you included that because it tells the young person that they're more than just a student in your classroom. They're a wonderful person whom Jesus died for, and so you're there for them.
Right.
You know, as a pastor, people and their parents would tell me that the things that they appreciated the most was when they would see me, let's say, at the local grocery store on a Saturday morning in cutoffs and hadn't shaved yet with the baseball cap on.
Made you a real person.
Oh, yeah. And then the kids would always tell their parents, where he doesn't have a robe or a suit with that black shirt on. And they saw me as a real human being.
Right.
And those were neat opportunities, you know, to greet them and say hi and ask them questions. And the parents would say, wow, that meant a lot. That meant a lot that they saw you out and about. And in my case, I had a huge dog that looked like a little polar bear. And that was the favorite thing with the kids. Could care less about the pastor, but he had this huge dog.
Pets are important.
and I found this nice article by a Scholastic, the group that talked about make sure the parents know they can trust you, that you're not spreading talk about them or their children with the other faculty, with the other parents, that you can be a trusted person. And I think that's really important, is it? Because it's kind of like being a pastor. A lot of times you know things. Parents probably come up and say, I want you to know that, you know, my child might be acting a little different because there's right. some crisis
right.
going on in the family, mm-hmm. and I wanted to make, and I'm sure that helps you, doesn't it?
Oh, it's very helpful when parents share when there's extra struggles going on at home, because then we know better how to pray. We're more sensitive to working with that child because we know times are tough right now. So, oh, absolutely, it's very helpful.
Yeah.
And they do have to trust that we're going to be professional and know that we're going to keep that confidence for them.
Sure. And then it says, assure parents you will inform them immediately about any concerns. You know, I've heard of times where, you know, people were shell-shocked when they heard there was behavior from their child. But what really frustrated them was, you know, when they asked, when did this start, and said, well, it's been going on all this reporting mm-hmm. period. And the question was, why weren't we informed of this early and we mm-hmm. might have been able to help?
Right. One thing that technology has done for us in education is that it makes the response to anything pretty immediate. We put in our grades daily. They have access to the
parents have access to look at their grades.
Parents and students both have access to continually see grades, see where there's missing assignments. We can tag it by saying something like late assignment.
Are you saying, Alvina, you don't have to do the old write a note and the kid had to take it home and make his parents sign it?
No,
that days are gone.
It's called technology.
Isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful. It really is wonderful.
Yeah.
So the turnaround's very fast, and there should be no surprise with all of that beautiful technology at our disposals of anything that's going on. You know, and beyond that, beyond the academic side, of course, then there should be, if there's a problem going on there, then that should be, first of all, in my opinion, bathed with prayer and then, you know, approached with great love.
How much of what's going on in the child's world, a family and all that, would you think that a parent should communicate with that child's teacher?
Anything that they think might help us to better gain an understanding of where the child's coming from that day, that week, that month. If it's an ongoing family struggle, it's very helpful for a teacher to know so that we can, again, hold that up in prayer and be more sensitive to the situation, whether that's a medical concern or whether it's a mental concern, a personal concern, a relationship concern. It's very helpful. If they recognize too, if parents recognize that we are in this as a partnership, of course they would want to tell us some of those things. And they have to be able to trust us to be able to keep that, you know, close to home so that we're not spreading that anywhere else.
And I'm sure that if you're not sure what is behind a change of behavior or of learning progress, you're going to maybe approach the parent and say, is there something that I'm not aware of that might be behind this? Or, you know, do we have to just approach this as an outcome that's totally the child's?
Right. It's all part of that open communication, again, between us.
And so that partnership is really vital in that case to try to work as a team to find out why is this going on? How can we turn it back around?
Right.
And, you know, I would think as a parent that would be just very, very impressive when I knew that that teacher, my child's teacher, was really out for the best for my child. Now what do you do in the case where the parent disagrees with an educational outcome, a grade, a rating, or something else? And that's a difficult one, I know.
It is difficult. It does happen from time to time. I'm glad to say I've not had it too many times in my career. But I think so often if you're proactive at the beginning, it reduces the quantity of it later on. If that parent already trusts me on a good day, then on a bad day, it might go better. So I think that's a really good thing. But I think where there is a difficulty, I have found myself just praying about it, praying for the child, praying for the family, praying for my reaction, praying for my response. I think to bathe that whole situation in prayer is going to be the best thing I can do. Then to temper it, you know, use correct words, to not let my defenses get up, to try to stick to the issue, to be pertinent with the information, not to try to let my emotions get the best of me, but to try to deal with the problem and to deal with it sooner rather than later. And in that case, I don't think email is the best place for communication. Attacks, back and forth, wrangling, that's not a place for email. I think then one side or the other needs to call a communication, a conversation, because face-to-face we're going to get a lot further than we are ever going to get on the phone or through email in that situation.
Very important what you're saying there, that there's a point where email and that just is going to be more contributing to aggravation and separation than to reconciliation and getting together. I remember I was just brought to my mind that teaching in the parochial day school, the confirmation part for eighth graders, which was a graded class. And I would always have a meeting with all the parents early in the year, and it was mandatory. And I would tell them how we operated. And I say, you know, it's pretty easy. Your kids aren't going to have to really study much for my exams, because every Friday, if we have class, we're going to have a quiz. Not a test, it's a quiz. And the kids should be very, very, communicative to you that, you can help them study on Thursday night by saying, okay, what did Pastor say would be really important, or that he would say, this make a good quiz question? Because I tell the kids, when you hear one of those, circle it, make a star beside it, because that's where the questions are coming. Mm-hmm. No surprises. And then I said to the parents, so Thursday night, you can help your kid go through that, his catechism, and just say, what did he highlight? Let's work on those. And then Monday evening, ask the kid to see the quiz, see the results. And this one family came in and said, why did you give him, we're ashamed that he got a bad grade in religion. And I said, try to communicate. And it just wasn't working. And I showed him the stream. And I said, did you ever once ask to, why and what? And I it just laid out there. And I couldn't, it's very frustrating in that case where you get a parent that just doesn't seem to want to help them progress. In this case, just you ought to give them a grade just because we don't want to be embarrassed. And what I tried to temper the discussion was, as you said, hey, look, it's not about embarrassing your child. It's about him not really wanting to perform at his level, because he can do this really easy. For some reason, just doesn't want to do it. And I tried everything I could. And they just thought I had to award them an A just because it was Christianity. And I said, I'd like to in some respects, but I don't think your child is really going to learn this issue. And so, we really try to communicate more than just, a grade. It's about learning some habits.
Yes.
And you talked about that too, of instilling some character. Here it wasn't good character development, I don't think. Mm-hmm. I wish we had the computer online thing, because they could have seen week after week that this case was just going downhill pretty fast.
Technology is so helpful in that area now, because
Do parents respond there, Alvina, that they enjoy this too?
Oh, yes, very much so. And they grading system that we use, they can even download an app on their phone, so they can at any time, any place, anywhere, access their child's grades. So if they're nervous about that or fretting about that or wondering whether or not assignments have gotten turned in, it's all right there.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. It's and almost helpful. Real time, too, which...
Almost real time. True.
Now, have we left out anything in the discussion that in your mind is really important about this parent-teacher communication?
I think we've touched on an awful lot of points. I was telling you at the break that I had heard this quote in the sermon on Sunday, and I thought it was so pertinent to what we were talking about here today that I wrote it down, and if I could share that, that might be
Absolutely.
Something we could add there. It goes back to that relationship aspect again. This was a quote from Dr. Scott Stixel, who actually is a clinical psychologist and has an organization of counseling called Bridgeworks out of California. And this was his quote. It says, "Life is relationships. The rest is just details. Everything in life that truly matters can be boiled down to relationships." And the pastor went on to explain that we as people, as his people, are created for relationships. And relationships are centered in God's love. And that really stuck with me because as a teacher, that's really where we operate. You know, that whole idea of relationships with the students, with the parents, with our colleagues, with our administration, with our community at large, with our churches. It's all about relationships and recognizing that those relationships are truly centered in God's love for each one of our lives. So I thought that was worthwhile sharing.
I'm glad you did because, you know, that relationship, Luther liked to call it that we should seek to be little Christ running around, mm-hmm. that people might see every now and then in us the love of Jesus Christ.
For
and
sure.
especially in teachers, you know, mm-hmm. where you have this awesome and sometimes, you know, trying relationship with young people of getting the best out of them in an educational and the other growth senses that you have. And so to see you exhibit grace and mercy and the love of Jesus Christ to these little ones that their parents have entrusted to you and the rest of the staff, that is so vital. Well, we're wrapping up our time very quickly here. And we've enjoyed it. We didn't talk about this. Does your school encourage volunteers from the parents to do help out? I'm looking at the list here that Illinois recommended this. Lunchroom monitoring, tutoring, library help, classroom speakers on different topics, maybe bringing in things for parties, birthday celebrations and that in the classroom, concession work at school events, all of that. All of that for the parent to be a part of their kids' classroom life and the kids to see their parents involved, too.
Oh, it's so important. We have a very vital parent and teachers group. They're very alive. They really run with stuff, and they are very much always soliciting parent volunteers to join them, whether it's fundraising or activities or, like you said, coming into the classroom or sharing things with their students. We even do 1 week in spring where we call it mini course week, and we give an hour at the end of every day, and many parents come in and talk about and teach things to the kids as well. So, yes, parent volunteers are such an important part of the success of a really strong school, I think.
And that probably provides the opportunity for the kids to see that this really is a grace place.
Yes.
And they kind of learn to see the reality of that relationship in real time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alvina Becker, thanks for being such a wonderful guest.
You're welcome.
And thanks for being a real stalwart of Grace Place. So God's blessings.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. And tomorrow on Faith and Family, we're going to have Dr. Jack Fiennes, a regular here on Worldwide KFU, talking about bedtime routines and back to school here on Faith and Family.